be like, click here to end
warning. Or like cat lovers only, click here. But I'm not even worried about a skeleton. Like,
I think you should be worried about skeletons. But the virus could, in fact, help preserve them more, longer.
No, that's impossible.
When did you become a ninja where you can just climb anything?
Maybe I would try to launch a couple chairs at the tiger.
There's a lot. Look, I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm a great writer here, but look.
You don't see me going up into the Himalayan mountains and trying to pretend I'm a Yeti, man. That's just not going to happen.
And that's probably a wrong fact, but I think that's true.
Well, what was the concert all about? I mean, they're not exactly like a relevant band anymore.
Oh, come on. That's not fair.
What do you mean it's not fair? It's pretty fair to say.
They're a good band. Like, Jethro Tull is good. It's basically Ian Anderson anyway. Like, yeah. It's Ian Anderson, and he's got some other dudes there that some of them, I think, the drummer may have played. I don't know. I mean, the original Jethro Tull is no longer in existence. It's just Ian Anderson.
Right.
And the problem is Ian Anderson had that throat problem. Like, he has that he like busted out his throat like in the '80s. Like, something happened to him and he like blew out his lungs or blew out his vocal cords or something.
Right.
So, okay, yeah, I guess none of this is making him relevant.
No. Jethro Tull is not relevant anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but they're good songs. Like, the tunes are nice. So here's the difference for this particular concert. Like, it was a rock opera.
So let me just get this straight. Jethro Tull is doing a rock opera. Now, they did a huge concept album. I mean,
yeah, they've done. I mean, they are prog rock. I mean, I think you could easily classify them, and correctly so, as at least at one point in their career as prog rock. And so that was something, and I think that's something that he does. And here's the thing: it's Ian Anderson presents the rock Jethro Tull rock opera.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. It's really a lot. I think on the ticket it just says Jethro Tull.
Right.
But I mean, like, so here's the deal. Let me just give you an overview. The rock opera, and that's what it was. It was not like a concert that I've been. I've been to many Jethro Tull concerts.
Right.
And Ian Anderson in particular puts on a show. He's really good. Like, he's very charismatic.
I mean, he's got to be like 95.
Yeah, but he always puts on a show. Like, he's really good. He like interacts with the audience. He does his dancing thing on the one-legged thing with the flute. I mean, it's.
So this is like an 80-year-old man who blew out his vocal cords.
Yes. Yes.
Years ago.
Everything is correct. Everything that you're saying is correct.
Doing but what I'm a rock opera. In quotation marks?
Okay, and hold on. What was the first concert you ever saw?
Was it Jethro Tull?
Yeah, it was Jethro Tull. So I don't want to hear any of this stuff. Okay.
All right.
So anyway, I've seen a lot of Jethro Tull concerts. He's very engaging. He does a lot of different stuff and it's fun and that's great. This was a straight up opera. Like, there wasn't any banter in between stuff. Like, there were scenes and it went from one song to the other, and the songs all were, they tried anyway. Most were in to support the story that was occurring. And the story was, here's the story of the opera. The story is the life and times of Jethro Tull, the actual dude.
Right.
Because Jethro Tull
was there a dude?
Yeah, he was a botanist. He was an agriculturalist in like, I don't know what, I mean, way back when that was like something to be. And what he developed was like – he developed some sort of seed that you could plant in the ground and it wouldn't rot.
So let me ask you this. Okay. It sounds like a fascinating rock opera, but I want to go back further.
Okay.
Why did they take the name of the band from this guy, Jethro Tull.
God, man, you don't, you honestly don't know anything.
Well, no, I don't know anything about Jethro Tull.
You're rock history. This is rock history. Look, Jethro Tull is a pioneer. They're one of the best classic in that genre, classic rock bands ever. They won a Grammy for best heavy metal.
That's
song.
Yeah. Wasn't it up against Metallica or something?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So there's a couple things wrong happening, but I'm not gonna argue that Jethro Tull doesn't belong somewhere in rock and roll history.
Okay. So let me lay some knowledge on you. So Jethro Tull, Ian Anderson, and a bunch of dudes, the original guys, I can't remember. I think it was Jeffrey Hammond and some William Barr.
Doesn't matter.
Ian Anderson and a bunch of his dudes, his friends, were going around to different clubs, and they were not good. And so they would choose different names in order to be rebooked to a club. Because they would bomb out of a club, and then they couldn't go back to that club because they'd be like, yeah, last time you were here, you stunk up the joint. So they'd be like, oh, yeah, we're not the Tasty Minstrels. We're the Lazy Gnomes, whatever it is, right? So
both of which are great band names.
Right. So what happened was it just so happened that their manager at the time, who was booked them as Jethro Tull. And that's when somebody saw them and said, hey, this band's pretty decent. Like, I want you guys to come in and start doing stuff. So they just happened to be under the name Jethro Tull at the time they were booked.
Man, it turned out okay. But you could have been stuck with a really bad name.
I mean, it could have. Who knows what other different bands or band names there were. But Jethro Tull worked. So that's why they were Jethro Tull. Ian Anderson is the front guy, as you know, and he's basically the only constant throughout the years.
Right.
He kind of drives the train. It's his band, basically.
Right. So now he went full circle and said, I don't know how much long I got left.
I don't know if he said that.
I want to tell the story of Jethro Tull, but not the band, of the man.
Right.
And some could argue that he is the man. But
I would argue that, but there's no Jethro Tull.
You sound like an idiot. You sound like an idiot if you're like, oh, Jethro Tull. It's like Pink Floyd, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, by the way, which one's Pink? But
right.
Okay, so I get it. So now it's Jethro Tull. He's putting on a rock opera. It's Ian Anderson.
Ian Anderson putting on a rock opera
with his band, Jethro Tull.
With his band, yes. So what's interesting is, first of all, let me just say, I had been up. This concert was at 8 o'clock in the evening, and I had been up since 3 a.m. with very little sleep because I had to take some friends to the airport, and I had gotten like no sleep the entire day, and I'm like exhausted. So I was just exhausted when I got there. Right. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying that may have like I don't know. Influenced the way I thought about this concert or anything, but I'll tell you, I was exhausted. Let me just say that.
Can I also say I'm interested in this because there's another really there's a Broadway play going around that is totally music, right?
Yeah.
Called Hamilton.
Yeah, I know all about Hamilton. Like, who doesn't know about Hamilton, dude?
Everybody knows about Hamilton. And so what I'm saying, there's an interesting thing happening where there's a Hamilton play going on that's super, like, about Hamilton, right?
Yeah.
Super
old dude.
Everybody loves him. Everybody loves the play, I should say,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Totally all verse.
Yeah.
And now we have Ian Anderson doing the same thing. I'm wondering how these compare. What's happening here?
I don't know. I haven't seen Hamilton. I think it's impossible to see Hamilton. It's not impossible to see Jethro Tull. Although I will say this, the place was packed. Like, it was. I mean, I'm sure it was sold out. The place was packed. like
right,
a bunch of.
Because it was like, what, 100 seats in the thing? I mean.
No, this was the Marat. No, dude. How dare you? This is the Marat. This is big time. This is a big concert venue in. This is where like all the Broadway stuff happens. This is where all the people come and play downtown. It's the old National Center. It's a big deal. He sold it out. They sold it out.
Tickets were what, $47?
Okay, so here's the reason. Okay, so the tickets were very expensive. Just last year I was at Ian Anderson, plays Thick as a Brick. So he did the incomplete Thick as a Brick, which we were just talking about the concept album. That was his concept album,
right.
Thick as a Brick.
Right.
So he did that, and we had great seats for that because the tickets weren't that expensive. The tickets were expensive for this show because it was like a total video production. It was like a total movie.
Can we just take a step back and say, are you saying $47 is expensive?
Yes, $47 I think is expensive.
Listen, I'm going to just say this. I have not paid to go to a concert in a very long time because I got connections.
Okay, yeah, I know about your connections.
And when I go to a concert, I not only go backstage.
Sure, okay.
I'm up front. Literally, yeah. I can touch Bruce Springsteen. Like, that's how close I can get.
Yeah.
I talked to Bruce Springsteen. I shook his hand because I went backstage. I paid for none of that.
There's a lot of bragging happening.
I'm just saying. So, from where?
So, $47 not.
From my perspective, I don't know what's an expensive ticket, but I can say with certainty, $47, you're not seeing Hamilton ever.
No, you're not seeing Hamilton for $47.
So
that's true.
I don't consider $47 is like a cover charge in. Bar in Manhattan.
Yeah, no, okay. The $47 is expensive. For the seats that I had were like they were good seats. Don't get me wrong, but they were a balcony level. Like if you wanted floor seats, you were paying $115.
Okay, now we're talking.
That's about, without cover. That's Ticketmaster. That's with all the other extra charges.
I gotcha. Okay. All right.
Like face
so
value
cheap,
of the ticket.
Good cheap tickets.
I had relatively cheap tickets that I still would say were pretty expensive. The Jethro Tull, when Ian Anderson did Thick as a Brick, I was sitting, Heidi and I dragged Heidi to that one. I did not drag her to this one.
Right.
I dragged Heidi to Thick as a Brick. We were, those tickets were like maybe like $30 and we were like next to the stage. Like I could have shaken – if I wanted to, I don't have to go around shaking everybody's hand like you clearly have to do.
Listen,
I could have shaken Ian Anderson's hand if I wanted to. I
Bruce
didn't
Springsteen
want to. Like,
came to
no
me.
Need.
He came to me.
He didn't come to you.
Well, he came to me because I was right next to what's his face? Who's the piano man?
Billy Joel?
Yeah, Billy Joel was right next to me. So he came over.
Just even more bragging. You know what? Sometimes I think the Shodcast is just you bragging about things.
Listen. All right. That's fine. That's cool. All I'm saying.
And really,
saying,
do you want to brag about sitting next to Billy Joel? I'm not so sure.
I'm not. I wasn't sitting next to him. I was hanging backstage with Billy Joel. And Bruce Springsteen came up to me. That's all I'm saying. Okay. I don't think that's bragging.
It sounds like bragging.
It just happened. That's what happens when you're backstage.
Okay, these things happen. All right, I was not backstage with Ian Anderson. Okay, it's just I'll be upfront with you. I want to be honest with you.
I'm sure you could get backstage for a few bucks more.
Maybe. In any case, look, let's not degrade this, man. Ian Anderson is a founder of the music that you listen to now. The stuff that he was doing impacted greatly on what you listen to now, especially if you play the flute. I mean, come on.
Right. I can't argue with that.
So I got there. I got there kind of early because I thought the show started at 7 and it didn't start till 8. So I got there early and I wanted to get a shirt, but then I don't know. The shirts were $30.
It's practically the price of a ticket.
It's practically the price of the ticket, and it's you got to pay cash, and they look just like they were. Concert shirts don't look cool anymore. Like, have you seen?
Rephrase that. Ian Anderson Jethro Tull concert shirts don't look cool anymore. Maybe that's
what the Bruce Springsteen concert that you went to. What kind of cool T-shirt was
Come
it?
Come on,
did you get a T-shirt? Listen, did you get a concert T-shirt?
People who go backstage don't get T-shirts. That's fact.
What shirt were you wearing to the Bruce Springsteen concert?
I don't know, a black shirt. I, it doesn't matter. I don't wear. First of all, I don't wear. How dare you insinuate that I'm wearing a Bruce Springsteen T-shirt to his concert? You think I'm that guy?
I don't know. That's what I was asking.
No.
Well, I did not wear a Jethro Tull. There were plenty of people wearing Jethro Tull T-shirts.
Yes, and because
shirts.
Jethro Tull concerts are filled with those guys.
Oh my
that's
God,
what it
how
is.
How dare you? How dare you?
No, I'm just speaking fact.
I'm sure there were plenty of Bruce Springsteen fans with Bruce Springsteen T-shirts.
Yeah, not where I was.
Well, okay, clearly. Anyway.
They get the cheap $47 seats.
I actually don't think you could go to a Bruce Springsteen concert for $47.
No, probably
I think
not.
That would be impossible. Anyway, I didn't get a T-shirt. I kind of regret it now, but whatever. They look kind of cheap. I get in, and it's only me, which is kind of weird, but it's only me. And I'm sitting down next to this woman, and like she's like kind of freaking out because she – an older woman, like,
right.
I mean, obviously, everybody. I was 20 years younger than everybody. And she's like freaking out because she made her husband get her a Diet Coke and like the show was going to start. And she's like really freaking out. And it turns out the show started. He's still getting her a Diet Coke. And that didn't go down very well. But, you know, what it is what it is.
How long does it take to get a Diet Coke at a Jethro Tull concert?
I mean, I guess pretty long.
I guess.
So, in any case, so. Here's what I'm saying. So the thing is, like, there's a huge screen. Like, it's a gigantic screen. And so the band starts, and Heavy Horse is the first thing they play, which is a good song. And it's refresh all nice. Like, I don't recognize
– Sorry, refresh my memory. Heavy
About
Horses?
What?
How's that go?
I'm not going
to – Hum a Few Bars?
I'm not going to sing any song. Hum a Few Bars either. It's a decent song. It's a good song. I think it's off Songs from the Woods. I'm not sure which one it is. Anyway, so Heavy Horses is a good song. And so as Heavy Horses is playing, they're playing it. And there's pictures of like the farm, like the farms and stuff like that. And so it's like kind of like a movie. It's like an experience. And so here's the deal. Here's what's kind of – I'm kind of iffy about the whole thing.
Right.
Kind of makes me – I mean, I don't want to say anything bad about Jethro Tull or Ian Anderson.
Clearly.
But this was a little bogus, I thought. Like, so Ian Anderson, as I said, his voice is like shot. So he had on the screen, people were singing for him.
Right.
Like there was a person on the screen singing.
Right.
Like that person wasn't there. So it was like you're watching the movie, like a movie of a person singing.
Well, what's Ian Anderson doing at this point, playing flute?
They're playing flute, and I mean, he does sing every once in a while. He'll sing like one verse, and the other person who's much better will sing the other verse.
You mean the person on the screen?
On the
who's
screen,
not there.
Who's not there?
That's weird.
There's also a female. So there's one guy who's playing Jethro Tull, who's actually playing Jethro Tull, the botanist.
Botanist, yes,
right. He's playing Jethro Tull on the screen. Then there's a female singer. She's playing Mrs. Tull, I guess. I don't know what the first name.
Right.
But Mrs. Tull. And so that's the whole thing. It's like the story from what I could gather. Look, and I'm going to be honest here. Like some of the songs were just kind of shoehorned in. Like I'll get through the set list. But like some of them were kind of just like Aqualung. They played Aqualung. By the way, Aqualung.
I thought this was a rock. Wait, I thought this was a rock opera.
It is a rock opera.
But it's a rock opera that they created from their own songs.
Yeah, there's some new ones. I mean, there's some new ones, but
that
most of them
shady.
You know what? It worked. It actually worked impressively well. Impressively.
You know what? This reminds me of an idea I had. One year for Christmas, I bought Mike Prince. It was like when Apple had like the essentials, and they would sell like.
Yeah.
All songs.
Yeah.
So had the essential Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And for a joke, I bought him the essential Hall & Oates and I was going to mail it to him. but right. I never got around to mailing it to him. So I started listening to it. I had a CD player in one of the cars that I had. And so I started playing it one day going to work because it took such a long time. And I created essentially a rock opera through this playlist that was pretty good of all Hall & Oates songs.
Yeah. I mean, look, Tommy's done it, right? Tommy?
This is different. Tommy was a rock opera that was created not from random Who songs, but they made the songs they were making a rock opera, so they created these songs. Well, same thing with The Wall, right? Which I saw twice.
Jeez.
Very close.
Okay,
one was
much?
Even invited, like it was just industry people. Just
sure.
Saying.
Of course. Yeah, it's good.
But those were created as concept albums, as rock operas, from their past experience or past material, so, like the Hall & Oates rock opera that I created.
So Jethro Tull, right, Ian Anderson created these. Like, first off, like most of his stuff is so – because his stuff, their stuff is so like expansive and creative and really like interesting, he has all this material to work from. So it was not hard for him to pick and choose. Now, I mean, they did cram in – I thought they crammed in Aqualung. I mean, Aqualung was about like, I guess, when Jethro Tull, the man, was at Oxford, there was this deal with this, you know, Aqualung type character. So yeah, like
–
they changed some of the lyrics. They changed some of the lyrics.
I don't know if that counts, man.
Well, I mean, it made sense. Like, it did make sense. And besides, Aqualung rock. They really did an excellent job with Aqualung, I thought. It was really good. I mean, and all the stuff was good. There was a problem. There's one song that was absolutely horrible. It's called Fruits of Frankenfield. And it was a made-up one. Not made-up, but it was for the rock opera. Not great. Like, not great at all. Like, really bad. Like, it was even for me who I have – look, I can forgive Ian Anderson for a lot of stuff. Rock Island, he's forgiven. In my Crest of a Knave, forgiven.
Those
okay?
are bold statements.
But honestly, Toll.com, forgiven.
Toll.com?
That's one of the albums. Fruits of Frankenfield is just bad. It was a bad song. It was not great.
Was he singing it or was it his?
Yes. No, he was singing it, which led to – see, here's my thing with Ian Anderson. Like, his voice is changed, right? I mean, it's all screwed up. Like it still can – it still has melody, but like he can't hold any notes or anything. Right. You know what I mean? And like he can't do all that kind of range. You know Jethro Tull. He does all that kind of stuff. Like sure. Ian Anderson does all that kind of stuff with his voice. He can't do it. So why not create songs that – help your voice. He can still sing. He just can't sing Jethro Tull songs, but he could sing Ian Anderson songs.
It's almost like if he could create a rock opera,
yeah,
of all his own of all songs he just created, maybe he could have something.
Maybe, except if they were like Fields of Frankenfruit or whatever, it would be horrible because that was really bad. Now, there are some other good ones that were okay, but. All in all, I mean, it was good. It had a story. It had a plot.
What was this? Let me just back up. What is the story of Jethro Tull?
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's what was they were trying to get across. It was how this dude Jethro Tull created something, a seed that wouldn't rot, and that helped feed humanity. And right now, we've got hungry people and people that are starving and stuff like that. I mean, it's like you're just going to – and part of it was also how like the farmland's disappearing and urban.
Why do these singers love like feeding people?
I'm saying
like we got Farm Aid. We had like We Are the World.
I don't get that stuff
about like hungry people all over. Yeah, they're hungry people. But you know what? Well, what about the water? You got to clean the water. You got what about the global warming? Like, there's a lot of other stuff, not just not like
part global warming was part of global warming was part of this rock opera. In Ian Anderson's defense, climate change is part of this. Now, also, Ian Anderson himself is a farmer. Like, he like has a farm, so right. That's like part. I mean, like, I don't want to defend Farm Aid and Sting and whoever else was doing that. I don't want to defend that, but I will defend Ian Anderson, the fact that he is a farmer, and he a lot of his songs deal with that kind of stuff. So they were right there.
All right.
Anyway, it did rock, and then there was an intermission. I don't know how many. I texted Heidi during the intermission. I was like, I gotta get to the intermission because there's a lot of old people here.
Right.
And their old men pee, like, it takes them like 3 hours to pee. It's like the worst.
Wow.
Like, I mean, I know I'm almost there, but it's like the worst, man. So you have to be in front of that line.
Right.
So I was like bolting. It's like as soon as like the lights went down, I'm like running out of my seat to get to the bathroom. And I texted Heidi. I said, yeah, it's intermission, like intermission time. And she's like, yeah, only old person concerts have intermission.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Which is probably true.
Well, I mean, it's a rock opera, so maybe.
It is. That's true. This wasn't a concert as much as it was an actual performance that I was singing.
Well, I would argue that concerts are performances, but I know what you're saying.
What was great was there was one dude who was just like, at least one old dude who thought he was probably like 30, 40 years younger. He was just totally like, he's always like, yeah. He's always doing like the thing where he's like pointing, like as things are like, as he's singing like the song, he's like singing the songs right. And he's got like the point. And the point is like, he's pointing it at Ian Anderson as he's like singing, right. Like, really, dude, you need to do that? Like, we're all old here. You know what I mean? Right. Like, why are you standing? He's like standing up at certain points. Like in really good parts, he's like standing up. I'm like, no one wants to stand up. Like Everyone wants to sit down. Like No one's standing up here, dude.
If you stand up, then people have to stand up to see over you. Like, and then everybody gets mad because they're standing.
Yeah. Like I could barely stand as it was. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm tired. I don't want to be standing up.
Right.
I'm old.
Right.
Living in the Past was like the second song after intermission. Living in the Past is one of my favorite songs. And like – as soon as it starts, I'm like, dude, this is awesome. I even clapped. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, yeah, this is, like, exciting, like, for me. I'm clapping. It's starting. I'm like, yeah, this is, I'm getting into it. Like, there's lots of good songs. And then suddenly I'm like, what the heck is that? Like, what? Did someone let a skunk in here? Like, did someone run over a skunk? And then instantly I was like, oh, idiot. It's not skunk. Someone's smoking weed. Like there was, like, a profound sense of marijuana. Like, I'm not sure why it just started at Living in the Past, but like someone decided to light up at that exact moment. And I don't know how you light up and do it really well. I guess they did it.
Because all the security does not care at that point.
I'm pretty sure no one was.
Because everybody's like, whatever, these are old people.
Yeah.
Let them do whatever they want.
Yeah. So that happened for a bit. And then they had the fans on because it was pretty hot in there. So I didn't smell it after that, but like, I was like, oh my God, like even at a Jethro Tull concert, like here's 50-year-old men. Where'd they get the weed? Like, is it really like,
where else are you going to do it? If not at a Jethro Tull
concert.
That's
what I'm thinking. I'm thinking like this, I wonder if they were saving it for this or like, did they go out and find it? Did they ask their kid to get it for him? Like, how was that interaction going on? Cause I'm not lying to you. Everyone there was 50 or older.
Right.
Like no one was younger than 50. So it was good. I mean, it was a good – the whole thing was good. And everybody went crazy. They did – the last song is Locomotive Breath, which I'm actually still – they crammed that one in. I'm not sure why Locomotive Breath had anything to do with the rock song.
Fan favorite.
Everybody loved that song except me. I don't like that song. Yeah. Not a fan of Locomotive Breath.
Yeah.
And it might have been what won them rock and roll, the heavy metal Grammy or whatever they won.
I would imagine because that's probably their heaviest song. I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, they have heavier blues stuff, but
I mean, I remember when they did Cross-Eyed Mary at the concert, and that was pretty heavy. That was
good. Cross-Eyed Mary is a heavy song. Yeah. In fact, when I was leaving, this is funny. I'm walking back to my car, and this car like comes ripping down the street, like way too fast. Big SUV, windows down. And some dude is screaming at the top of his lungs the lyrics to Cross-Eyed Mary.
Right.
Like just screaming. The thing is like pumped up super loud. The bass is going. I was like, oh my God. Like what has – I mean, say what you want about Ian Anderson. He made people feel young again.
Yeah, I guess I'll give him that.
So it was – I mean, I actually had a really good time. Like I was kind of dreading the whole thing. When I was texting you in the beginning, I was kind of like, this is going to go south.
Right.
Like I'm tired. Not really. But as soon as it started, like there is a charisma. Ian Anderson has a charisma. Even though I thought there was a lot of bogus to the point where like the people who were singing the most weren't actually live. It was like recorded. You know what I mean? Like
sounds.
I'm watching a movie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sounds like he's phoning it in.
My thing is, I don't know why he doesn't just get someone else to front the band. Like everybody else has changed. The only consistent person is Ian Anderson. Why doesn't Ian Anderson just get someone to sing? He can still do the flute stuff. He can still do the one-legged thing. He can still do the jumping around.
Listen, have you ever considered, and I know this might be hard for you, but have you considered maybe no one wants to front the band?
How dare you? First of all, that's not true because when we saw Thick as a Brick, the guy who was singing in the screen sang Thick as a Brick. Like he and Ian Anderson would back and forth Thick as a Brick. So they were doing it two front men.
Right.
One who could sing, one who could kind of sing. Like, why don't they just put him up front all the time? They had that dude. That dude knows all the Jethro Tull songs.
Listen, there comes a time so maybe you got to just hang up your flute. You know what I'm saying?
And I will say, like, he's a very good musician, Ian Anderson. Like, the flute stuff is great. He knows how to work a crowd. The band was very tight. Everything sounded great, quite frankly, except for the voice.
Hmm.
It's tough, man.
It's tough.
I've seen a lot of Jethro Tull concerts.
No one is saying you didn't. I mean, you never got backstage, but hey. I mean, maybe I can pull some strings next time.
That's true.
Talk to me next time.
Yeah, how come you can't hook me up, man? This is Jethro Tull. This should be nothing for you, right?
Well.
Jeez.
All right, well, that's the Shotcast for this week. I'm Brady.
I'm Brian.
Hold fast.